Alrighty guys, how's it going? Welcome to this episode of Aussie English. Today we're going to do a Pete's Two Cents episode, as you will probably know from the title of this episode already. But just in case you didn't read it and you went straight into it, that's what's happening. So I've just grabbed myself a drink. I'm going to come into my office here and sit on my couch. And I'm going to open up Instagram and get to some of these questions from last week. So I guess too, we got a bit of news, right? So I've dropped my son off at daycare. I've dropped my daughter off at my mum and dad's place at her grandparents' house. So she's spending the day there, hanging out with them, living her best life. I then dropped my wife off at work, and that's what today's been. But we had some good news yesterday. Kel had her citizenship ceremony, which was really cool. So she is now officially an Australian citizen and has all the rights, responsibilities, and duties that I do. So congrats to Kel. We're probably going to do a podcast episode on this in the future because it seems like we had loads of questions. I published this on Instagram and you guys went nuts. So yeah, there were loads of questions about, you know, the exam that she had to do and then what the ceremony was like. So I'll probably try and sit her down and do at least two episodes in the future where we can talk about the exam, what she did to get ready for it, you know, and just so that you guys have an idea of what it is, if you've got to do that at some point in the future. And then we'll also talk about the ceremony, but it was nice. Mum and Dad came too. My parents came. They wanted to celebrate Kel's citizenship ceremony too with her. And then we went out for Italian, which was really cool. We went to some place in Geelong, obviously. That's where we were. So anyway, I'll get into today's questions. So my phone has just locked itself again. So let me go and find those questions. Okay. All right. So Mehdi Ismaili 96 says, I moved to Australia about 17 months ago, but I can't understand what people say. What should I do? I'm getting stressed out. Okay. So this comes up. You guys seem to ask this sort of a question on a regular basis. So I hope you're not getting bored with me always giving you the same sort of advice. So if you've heard it before, forgive me. If you haven't, hopefully it helps. The basic problem that you've got here is just exposure, right? It's that you haven't been exposed to enough of the language in order to have proficiency in understanding it. So at the end of the day, you're still sort of naive, right, to the different accents in Australia, maybe the different slang that we use, the different expressions that we use. You haven't studied enough, you haven't been exposed to enough of the language to feel confident when interacting with everyday Aussies. And it's one of those things where you'll probably find me, as someone that you listen to on a regular basis, pretty easy to understand. And it's because you've had a lot of exposure to my pronunciation. So what you will also find is that certain Australians will be easier to understand than others. And this is really common. You shouldn't beat yourself up about having these kinds of issues, but the tendency of most people is to then avoid situations or avoid content, avoid movies, avoid films, avoid podcasts, avoid audiobooks, avoid those accents and dialects that they find the hardest to understand. And this is the opposite of what you want to do if your goal at the end of the day is to have as good as possible listening comprehension of all different types of Australian English. And it's hard. It's one of those things we all do it, I think, subconsciously without thinking about it, that if we find certain people or certain language, certain accents difficult to understand, we kind of avoid it, right? Because it's just sort of like, too hard. I just don't want to deal with this. So, you know, if a movie comes up that looks interesting and you turn it on, but you're like, oh God, these guys are so hard to understand. You know, there's Bogans or there's people from regional Australia with a really broad accent. I'm finding these guys really difficult to understand. You might have the tendency of just being like, I'm going to pick something else that's easy to understand. But this is the opposite of what you want to do, really. If your goal is to have as good a listening comprehension as possible, what you want to be doing is specifically hunting down these sorts of situations with people, conversations with people, content, TV shows, movies. You want to find the ones that are difficult, because they're the ones that, if they're difficult for you, you obviously need to be practicing more in order to get good at understanding those accents and then expanding your abilities when it comes to listening comprehension in Australian English. So my suggestion would be, try and find TV shows, movies, podcasts with speakers that you have more trouble understanding than, say, someone like myself, someone like me. If you're speaking, or if you're listening to me and you find me really easy to understand, you should probably include some other speakers in your study time, right? Or in the content that you consume, so that you're not spending the majority of your time effectively with accents you find easy. And it goes, this is the same thing, right? It's the same for any kind of skill that you're trying to get better at, right? Like, if, when I did jiu-jitsu, there were certain people on the mat when I was fighting, when I was doing jiu-jitsu, when I was rolling with these people, that I would find really difficult to roll with. And my tendency would be to avoid them and pick people that I found easy to roll with, people that I could beat, people that I could submit, that I could defeat in a fight much more easily, where I could control the fight. But this came at the detriment, if I did this, it came at the detriment of my skills improving quickly. Because really what I needed to do if I wanted to get as good as possible, as quickly as possible, was fight new fighters, new people that I found difficult, that did different things, that gave me different problems I had to solve, that where I wasn't just repeating the same moves, repeating the same, pathways in my mind, just doing what I could already do. So that's really the advice I would give you. Try and expose yourself to more difficult accents. Go out of your way to have conversations with people in public, just as many people as possible. And if you find certain people are difficult to understand, try and notice if you're avoiding situations with them, right? So like, if you go and get coffee in the morning and you find that the guy there has a really tough accent to understand, what you want to be doing instead of just getting the coffee and walking off is trying to have a conversation with him every day, just a little bit every day. And that's going to help. Finding a TV show that has, accents in it that are difficult to understand, and then using the transcripts, using subtitles, all that sort of stuff to help you. And that also is a point that's really going to speed up your progression. I think that it can't be understated how important, when trying to improve your comprehension of difficult accents, how important it is to have the text that you can read whilst listening, because that allows your brain to hear the accent and in real time check the words that are being said. And then I would say more quickly, you'll be able to switch your brain to like just understand the algorithm that is that accent if you do that, right? Whereas if you don't have the text, you may find it difficult to work out what words they're saying, even if you know the words in English. So yeah, sorry, got a bit of a cold at the moment, but yeah, hopefully that helps. Really, just get more exposure and try and incorporate people you find difficult to understand. Okay, this one comes from Ive Corona Dob. What does it mean when you say chill the beans? So chill the beans is a more recent expression, I believe. I've only really heard this probably in the last decade or so. I don't think it's one of these older English expressions. It's a more recent fabrication or creation. And it just means calm down, right? Like chill out, chill the beans. We need to chill the beans. We need to calm down. I don't know where it comes from with like the beans. Like chill, I understand, of like cool down, don't get so hot and angry. Chill out, chill, calm down. The beans, I don't know. I don't know. I guess it could be related to someone being full of beans, where they're like very excited, animated. They've got a lot of energy, They need to, chill their beans. They need to calm down because they're full of beans. But that's what it means. Chill the beans. You need to calm down. All right. Dysfunctional dildo. Jesus Christ. Okay. So I'm just going to call him dysfunctional. Asks, are curl and cool or girl and ghoul supposed to sound similar? When I pronounce them, they sound similar. So I guess it depends, right? When you say similar, do you mean it depends on how similar, I guess you mean when you say similar. I can hear a distinct difference, obviously, between and ooh, right? Curl, cool, girl, ghoul. So they're just two different vowel sounds in Australian English. For curl and girl, and ooh for cool and ghoul. If you want to learn more about Australian pronunciation, go and check out my Australian pronunciation course at aussieenglish.com.au/APC100. If you use that link, you'll save $100 when you sign up. But yeah, I go through these sorts of things, and if you're having this kind of problem with similar vowel sounds, there's a section number two. The section number two has tutorials and exercises for every single vowel sound and consonant sound in Australian English so that you can master those individually. But then there's a section, there's a part of that section, I should say, where we go through minimal pairs. And this is a minimal pair, right? The vowel sounds and ool. If you're finding those, or ooh, if you're finding those hard to understand, it's because they're a very similar sounding phoneme in English, so a unit of pronounced language. They're very similar sounding. I have a section in there where we go over minimal pairs, different minimal pairs as vowel sounds, like and ooh, and also consonant sounds. But yeah, I think a big problem with these sorts of vowel sounds, it's quite often not that you guys can't pronounce them, it's that the spelling in English is quite often confusing because, like, curl and girl, it's the vowel sounds spelt UR in curl and then IR in girl. And then with cool, you've got a double O, and then in ghoul, you've got an HOU, right? Ghoul. So, a lot of the time, I find people speaking English, when they mispronounce these sorts of words, it's not necessarily that they're having trouble articulating, pronouncing the sound itself, and they often do in certain situations, but then that they get confused because of the spelling of the word. And English is one of these languages where the spelling doesn't always correspond to the pronunciation, and so you kind of just have to learn the word and how it's pronounced, and then disassociate that from the actual spelling of the word so that you don't confuse yourself when speaking quickly. Let's keep going. Okay, this one comes from Jabsy. I've got a question for you, Pete. What's the definition of the expression "I didn't come down in the last shower"? So this is similar to the expression, in fact, it's analogous. It is a synonym for the expression "I wasn't born yesterday." And this means I'm not dumb, I'm not ignorant, I'm not naive, I know what you're doing, right? When you're trying to trick me, if you're trying to trick me and you can't trick me because I know the trick that you're doing, I know what you're doing, I wasn't born yesterday, I didn't come down in the last shower. And I haven't checked the exact origin of this idea of didn't come down in the last shower, but the idea would be that you fell down from the sky when it rained last time, right? Like a shower is in your house, it's where you go and clean yourself, obviously. The water showers down onto you in the shower. But if there's a shower outside, it's often that it's raining. It's an instance of rain falling down. It's a shower. You can have a light shower, heavy shower, a shower of rain. So, yeah, I didn't come down in the last shower would be like, I wasn't born yesterday. I didn't just appear last time it rained and have no idea about how the world works. I know what you're doing, I know you're trying to trick me. So I'm not ignorant, I'm not naive, I can't be fooled. I didn't come down in the last shower. I wasn't born yesterday. All right. This one comes from OMaddie333, and in fact, I think I'm just going to open my drink, guys. Have a quick sip. Okay. If not in Australia, where else in the world would you like to live? Ah, man, there's so many places that I would like to live throughout the world, in the world, right? There's Brazil, obviously, for obvious reasons, right? I'm married to a Brazilian, my kids are half Brazilian. I would love to go there and live there for a while and better get to know the culture, improve my language skills, meet and get to know my wife's family. I've always been curious about places like Japan. I feel like the culture is just so unique and interesting, at least as an outsider. I'm sure it has its own problems like any culture, but It just seems like a really interesting place to live. It's got beautiful geography, mountains, Mount Fuji. I would love to go and visit that. And yeah, just the different cultures there, the language. I would love to learn the language. But then, yeah, places in Europe. I would love to explore bits of Rome, right? The Roman Empire. So I think anywhere that I could live in Europe that would allow me to do that, right? The Roman Empire was all over the place. So I could probably live in pretty much any country and go and explore it. North America, I would love to live in, America or Canada, probably Canada over America because America's a bit, I don't know, it's a bit full on, but it seems like a cool place. It'd be great to visit and travel around. Yeah, so I don't know, there's so many places, but you have kids and it becomes incredibly difficult to be able to do that. New Zealand, wouldn't mind living in New Zealand. I'd love to live in Antarctica for a little bit. Right, probably not very long. you'd probably get over the cold, but it'd be pretty cool to visit and stay there for a few weeks, I reckon. All right. What's the secret of Aussie's long, healthy life? I've seen quite a lot of elderly people quite fit and energetic. This one comes from Shafak Faruqi85. So I don't know. I think Australia. I don't know if we really do have long and healthy lives compared to a lot of other countries. I think we have health issues, like we've got, an obesity epidemic, like most Western countries. But there are, you will see the odd elderly person, but I would imagine you'd see elderly people in pretty much every culture. You're always going to see them. So I wouldn't say that we are particularly well known for having people that live to an old age. I feel like, Japan is a country where we think of people who have a very long life expectancy. But, my grandparents are a good example. They're in their 90s. They're both pretty switched on, right? Like they're still intelligent. They're not suffering from mental problems. They're still able to sort of get around, although they have their own sort of difficulties now, obviously, because of their age and issues that they've got with injuries they've had in the past, from falls or whatever. But I think a big thing for them is that they've been really active. They have a farm that they always go to. My grandfather's kept sheep. He's always had hobbies and interests that he challenges himself with, like taking care of bees, having the sheep on the farm. And so I think he's just been really active. And the same with my grandmother, my nana. Also, I think they have a good social circle, right? She's very social. And so they're healthy and socially fulfilled that way. They don't drink very much, and I think they eat relatively healthily. So I don't think that they, overdo it with junk food or whatever. So it's probably a combination of those things. But there are definitely loads of Australians who don't live a long life because, yeah, they just don't take care of themselves or end up suffering from tragic diseases, all that sort of stuff. All right, so we had a question too, I remember coming from Muhammad, who asks, is it ratting on my colleagues if I complain about their racist behavior against me to HR? So HR stands for human resources. Large businesses usually have an HR department, where you can, they're the ones that do the hiring or the firing or the managing of problems like this. So the advice that I would give you, Muhammad, is obviously probably chat with a friend or something first and let them know about the situation and get feedback to see if they think it's racism. Because again, I don't know what's happened, but I have had friends in the past think that something that's happened at work has been racism where it hasn't necessarily been that. It may be that the people don't like you or that you missed out on a promotion or that you got fired for something. And there may be other explanations that aren't necessarily racism, but it could well be racism. So I would say get some feedback from friends or family, see what they think. And if it is racism, first, before going to HR and assuming you feel comfortable doing this, I would probably talk to the people who are treating you badly, and just be like, look, I'm not okay with the way that you're treating me. I feel like it's racist. I feel like you're treating me really badly. And, it's not on. This is not okay. So I would suggest doing that if you feel comfortable bringing it up with the people, right? Because there's different types of racism. There may be people who are just making jokes and they don't realize that you're getting offended. And if it's that sort of situation, I would suggest talking to them and just being like, look, I know you're joking around, but I find it kind of offensive. It's upsetting me a bit. So could you please stop that? This is a workplace and we should all feel, you know, included and comfortable and safe here. And the way that you're treating me, it makes me feel unwelcome, unsafe. So I would give them a chance to, if it's that kind of situation, I would give them the chance to take that on board and then be, you know, apologize and hopefully move on with the situation. If though it is someone who you don't feel comfortable approaching and who is potentially just being horrible and nasty and racist, then yes, just go to HR and let them deal with it, right? Make a formal complaint. The trouble is, the reason that I give you these kind of options is sometimes it's hard if you escalate the situation at work where you've got to still work there, right? And where this person may not get fired and they may still have to work alongside you. If you're going to go straight to HR where there was the potential for you to be able to resolve the problem by talking to them first, it may make things worse, if that makes sense, right? It may make things more awkward. You may make your life more difficult at work by doing that. So that's my advice at the end of the day, is try and do what's best for you going on, continuing to work there. And if that means just pulling the person aside and trying to have a chat to them and just say, look, what you're doing is making me feel uncomfortable. Can you please stop it? You know, or if it's going to HR and chatting to HR and getting them to deal with it, but take those things on board. And yeah, I'm sorry to hear that you're going through a difficult situation, whatever the case may be. And I hope it does resolve, mate. But yeah, no one deserves to be treated poorly at work. So, oh yeah. I hope it gets resolved. Okay, let's do one more and then we might finish up. All right, this one came from Gurpreet Singh, who asked, what are the most common spoken languages spoken in Australian homes? So when I look this up, obviously English is going to be number one, but then it was like Mandarin Chinese, I think Hindi was in there, Vietnamese, Cantonese. So I think it was those five. I think Punjabi is another one that was in the top list. So I think that's given you six. So you'd have five that doesn't include English. But yeah, there's a lot of, we just have loads of migrants who have come from those countries, China, Vietnam, and India and Pakistan. So we have loads of speakers of those languages in Australia. And it is, you know, the other day when we went to do Kel's ceremony, her citizenship ceremony, I would say that there was probably, I think at least, you know, there would be at least 30 to 40% who I thought I could hear speaking Hindi or Punjabi and who looked like they were from East Asia. So yeah, there's loads of people coming from East Asia, India and everything into Australia, you know, which is cool. So yeah, it's really, really awesome to have such a diverse kind of country and community, especially here in Geelong. And I think that yesterday I remember hearing the mayor reading out stats about migration and everything to Australia. And I think he was saying that 50% of Australians were either born overseas or have a parent who was born overseas. So we are a nation of migrants. Anyway, guys, hopefully you've enjoyed this episode. And I should mention that the doors to my accent workshop are going to be open until the end of February. So if you are interested in joining that, I can't remember the link off the top of my head. So just go to my website and then go to courses and you should see at the bottom there, accent workshop course. The whole point of this course is that it's going to be an intensive series of workshops over a month period with myself and Adriana. Adriana is going to be running the workshops. You'll have access to a WhatsApp group, but in the workshops, they're going to be bi-weekly. So you'll have two of these every single week. I think from memory, they're on a Tuesday and a Thursday in the evening, and they each go for about an hour and a half. And yeah, it's where you will go through different aspects of pronunciation in Australian English. You'll be able to ask questions, get feedback, And Adriana also gave exercises at the end of every single workshop for you to do and complete and, you know, go and research and then share in the WhatsApp group and then get feedback, which was really cool. We ran this last year. It was a great success. People had a great time and they improved their pronunciation and also comprehension of Australian accents as a result. So yeah, if you're interested in that, go check it out. I'll be doing a combination pack of the pronunciation course and the workshop. And the reason being that if you come to the workshops, you'll need to be able to refer to the course. Okay, so if you don't have the Australian pronunciation course and you want to come to the workshops, you'll need to purchase both, but you'll get a big discount on the pronunciation course when you sign up. However, if you already have the pronunciation course, there will be the option to just get the accent workshop so that you don't have to buy the pronunciation course a second time, because you can already obviously access it and refer to it. But yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to running this again, and I hope to see you guys in there. Besides that, I hope you have a beautiful week, and I'll chat to you next time. Toodaloo.